Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. Cousin Sal coming to you with my good pal, Dave Damashek. What a weekend. What a night of TV, Dave. I don't know, man. You're going to have to recap it. What happened? Woody Allen accused Queen Elizabeth of being racist because she wouldn't get her pregame haircut from the black barber played by Eddie Murphy. I don't know. I'm confused.
And Blake Griffin was expelled from the royal family. And yeah. I don't know. Somehow the Ottawa Senators have an overtime. The whole thing it's a blur for me. What happened on Sunday night? It was too much. That's it. It's officially too much TV on Sunday night, a random March evening.
Can you believe it?
Boy, yeah. You really had to work that. The DVR got worked over, but good.
It really did. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but this the whole thing with the royal couple there, Meghan and Harry, and Oprah sat down. And I will say there was a lot of whole thing, like they felt trapped. There was racist implications against the palace. And one thing Oprah did not touch on, I feel like she's slipping a little here. Meghan and Harry named their kid Archie Harrison. Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. Now, I don't know about that second part. That's nonsensical. And the kids are just going to make fun of you if you have that long a name. But Archie Harrison, two of my three sons' names are Archie and Harrison. What are the odds, Dave, if FanDuel would have put odds on this, that Archie Harrison is... I know Archie's a little more of a popular name in England overseas, but Archie Harrison? I don't believe in coincidences. Okay, I think they stole from me here, and the litigation is ongoing. I'll just say that.
Yeah, are we supposed to believe that the Queen Mum was a big was a big fan of the goings on in Riverdale with Archie and his pals Jughead and the rest? I don't think so.
Yeah,
it's or a straight or line in Queens, to you.
Yeah, or no, Archie Bunker. No, I have a feeling that's not. Although now we're hearing, who knows? Maybe that is the origin. But again, the main point is, Oprah, you're slipping. To not ask them about that is just ridiculous. I mean, that's okay. We'll get
to this. The coming to America and all of that connection. I never made the connection with Queens and Archie Bunker. All right. That's another possibility maybe they got it from you. Right.
The big news is that basketball game, whether you liked it or not, Team LeBron went out there. It was like 62-60 at one point, I think. And then it was like 100-80, and Team LeBron held on. They were 3.5-point favorite, according to FanDuel, 170-150. Now, Dave, the over under, it went off at 320. So it lands right on the number. It was 307 on Friday. Like it went up 13 full points, almost a team half the points in their quarter it would be, and a half quarter ends it. And the scoring is weird. There's so much to get into here, but the scoring is weird. They start over each quarter, but they also keep the tally in the top corner. And then for the fourth quarter, they take the cumulative score and they add 24 for Kobe. And that's the goal to reach. This is new Common Core math, but I wasn't getting it too much.
If you weren't getting it, then you know without saying it, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. And listen, I don't like to be a curmudgeon about these things. I don't like when people get in on athletes who wear their hats backwards or if they like to do stuff on social media in their free time. That's fine by me in the 21st century. Where I draw the line is when they don't give a crap, I don't give a crap. Mm. And what went on with a couple of the Sixers, like, oh, yeah. I mean, that sounded awfully close to me of like, you know, how do we end up not actually having to play this game? Is coming up with some jive about we got too close to a barber, so we don't have to play.
Well, that happened with the Chiefs, I mean, too. Yeah. The barber thing is insane.
I don't like the grab ass
barbers. Yeah.
You love WWE stuff, Sal. Imagine if your pal Roddy Piper was out there playing grab ass and laughing it up with his foe in the squared circle. You wouldn't like it. It loses the suspense of hatred and that depends upon them not liking each other. I don't like Chris Paul taking the ball from James Harden and them in the play looking at each other and kind of chuckling. No, there's nothing pleasurable about this. It's an exhibition for them. Ergo, it's a meaningless endeavor. Ergo, what do I care?
There's a lot of ergos in there, but I agree. The only potential conflict that was there is when they draft teams. You're like, okay, maybe this could instill, because it was getting a little chummy, right? So maybe this will instill some competition, but no, it doesn't matter that Rudy Gobert is picked last. He's, like you said, he's hugging it out with everybody on the court. It didn't matter, but you can bet on these games, which made it interesting. I guarantee everyone who bet over 320 forgot that they were going to install a limitation on the scoring. You need 24 more points to win the quarter and to win the game. And they landed right on 320. So again, the odds makers do it again. Good job by you, FanDuel. Hey, Giannis didn't miss a shot, won MVP. I called it the degenerate trifecta, and I did very well on this. 35
You
points.
Really did. I don't know how. Jeez. You guys are collectively deserving of praise for your wizardry over, like I say, this exhibition. How you possibly can gauge what's going to go down in this game when nobody is really motivated to win or otherwise or to put on their best show. How you guys were able to be so accurate, I commend you for it.
Well, it's dumb luck is the answer if you need an answer. But Giannis was 6-1 to win MVP. I don't know. I thought it's up there. He needs to show off. Everyone's forgetting that he's amongst the three best players in the league. 16-for-16. I didn't think he would be that best. But 35.7 rebounds. Yeah, Joel Solomon, or Jim Cunningham, who else did the degenerate trifecta have? They had Sabonis, Parlay Kid had to win the skills title. Someone
Steph
had
Curry.
Curry to win the 3-point. That went well. Curry wins that 3-point contest. It was exciting. Let me ask you this. Why wouldn't pay 2-to-1 odds? Why wouldn't he enter every year? If you're up there with amongst the best shooters of all time, and now a lot of people saying, well, there are going to be people say it's Larry Bird no matter what, right? And then there's going to be people say it's Reggie Miller. And now it's like the new breeder saying, no, no, it's Steph Curry. Why wouldn't you do this every year? This is another thing you could add to your resume. You could say, hey, I guess what? Nice, Reggie Miller. I won the 3-point shooting contest 11 years. What about that? Wouldn't you enter every year if you were as good a shooter as him?
I feel like you want to do the math of like you win it, you remind everybody. It's the same thing as I've said about the 92 Dream Team. What the U.S. should have done in 2020 with 2020 hindsight, although I was saying it in the moment, just teach the world a lesson one time as just like something to point to for the next several generations. Like, you want to mess with us, Brazil or Argentina or whoever you think you are can compete with us in basketball. As a reminder, we'll refer you to 92, what Magic and Jordan and everybody else did to you. Then you keep coming back. It's good. Steph, just as a reminder, I'm obviously the best. Now carry on with your JV little exhibition here. That's why. You don't do it every year because it raises the chances you're going to lose. That's
no, right. I don't know. Because now, you know, LeBron wears the shirt that says he's changed the game for the better or whatever. He's changed it forever. There'll be another Steph Curry that comes on in 20 years. And then you're going to have to point to numbers. Joel Solomon, what do you think? I think he does this every year. I would want to do it. Because Bird won it 3 years, right? He won it the first 3 years of this contest. Steph has won it 2 years with the few contests in between. I don't know. I think that's a nice resume builder. You go out there, you kick the crap at everyone behind the arc.
I think this should be like the Masters. When you win the 3-point shootout, you get a jacket. You're welcome back every year until you're 50. Shooters can always shoot. Steph always says his dad can still shoot. If you win the 3-point shootout, you're welcome back until you're 50 years old. Steph should still be in it. Reggie Miller could be in it if he wants to. Larry Legend, you're all welcome back.
I don't mind that at all.
I love the old timers thing idea, but also I love the idea because it's so close to the Masters green jacket. This should be Larry Bird's warm-up jacket that he famously wore as he shot the final three ball and walked off with his finger raised high before it even went through. That should be the 3-point shooting contest jacket. He should the old Celtics warm-up jacket.
Oh, that's good.
Should be. That's a good idea, Joel. That's a cool one.
But way down with Mountain Dew is in every pocket, right? And there's like 6 pockets, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, you know, can I say one other thing when we're talking about these? I've long said because the 5-on-5, I find it unsatisfying because nobody's playing any defense. It's worse than even the hockey All-Star game at this point. Not as bad as the football, the Pro Bowl, because those guys are pulled to pull each other down to the ground, and they don't even try to do that. So then really, what's the point? But with basketball specifically, how about we institute a 1-on-1 tournament? Wouldn't that be more fun to watch on All-Star weekend? You go 6'10 and under and 6'11 and over. That's the turn, because that's where it would cut. Like, Giannis would defeat, you know, whoever is 6'5". So you got to have the string beans play on one side, and the shorties, a.k.a. the guys under 6'10", on the other side. Two tournaments. And I mean, who wouldn't be captivated by that?
No, but I like it, but no one wants to do it. This is a free weekend for everybody. You're asking guys who don't normally want to play defense in a game, we're going to play the hardest they've played all year in a tournament, to not be embarrassed in a one-on-one competition. I'm trying to think who would do it. Would the rookies even do it? Would the rookies who didn't?
I don't know. I just know they wait. It's fun to think about, like, that you would enjoy seeing Steph Curry. What I would do, that he should do this every year, whatever. To me, I would do exactly what Embiid just did in Simmons. I think I saw somebody who he had a cough. I better sit this one out. I would do that forever. I would never play in All-Star games.
No, really?
No, thank you.
Interesting.
No, I play enough games. I don't need to play another one. Exhibition game.
If they took your attitude, who the hell's playing in this one-on-one game then, where you really have to exert some effort?
Well, then,
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
That's personal pride.
What kind of incentive you'd have to go? Have to be a really big trophy, one that even you couldn't lose. I don't know.
As I've said about the skins game, Sal, in golf, the best thing in the world would be, and I don't know why we can't have this, and, you know, as more and more professional athletes embrace and acknowledge publicly that they like throwing a little bit of action on it to make games more interesting in other sports. If you said, hey, every NBA player, $1 million buy-in of your own money, winner take all, everybody would be in that one-on-one tournament.
It.
And I don't think you'd have to worry about them trying hard either.
That
betting
I
on
like.
Themselves. That's what professional athletes love to do more than anything. That's why it would be the greatest thing in the world if you had golf or if you had NBA players betting on literally themselves, not on their team, on themselves. LeBron, I'm betting on me to be the best 6'9 and under player in this one-on-one tournament. It would be the most ferocious tournament that we've ever watched.
I like it a lot. The problem is it's never their money, right? There's always a sponsor attached. How do you police that? How do you say, what stops Phil Mickelson, who's out of the top 100, by the way, for the first time in forever, but how do you police Mickelson from not saying, Coca-Cola in heaven, I can't believe I missed that shot. Even if it's not, you know, legitimately tied into the production. They could make side deals, right? And like, oh boy, wow, everybody heard that? How many? 34 million people watching that? Coca-Cola? I don't know. It just seems like
Lipped out Mr. Pibb. You know, like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I wish
I don't could, know. I mean, I'm not worried about that. That's right. I don't know who's gonna do the police. I don't know. We'll hire Charles Oakley and he'll have to police it.
They have to Venmo it from their own
account.
That's
not my business.
And you have to take a look at where the money, you have to follow the money. So anyway, there are some, I thought unicycling, I gave our pal Carolla a nod, but unicycling is very difficult. And for some reason, our friend Adam Carolla does it very well. I thought seeing some of these guys try a unicycle, it's better than even a bucking Bronco. Like couldn't probably go 3 or 4 feet. Most of them, but there's a lot of different ways to go with them. The entertainment value in these things. Slam dunk was unimpressive. Everybody, it seemed, wanted Obi Toppin, all of our Knicks fans, friends out there, but Anthony Simons wins. He was +275. He almost kissed the rim. Dave, am I being a curmudgeon here? I know, like, there are people who are like, there's enough music made. We don't need any music. We've heard it all. We've heard every variation of the same 6 chords. We don't need any new music. I get that that's a little old timey and stupid, but have we seen almost every variation of the slam dunk? Are we in trouble?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I thought that, though, it's one of those things, though, that I sincerely held that opinion 20 years ago. I thought, okay, Dominique, a human being is not going to put his face closer to the rim than Dominique is. And then Dwight Howard had his little run where he was putting on the cape and everything, and it felt stale. But in the, then within the last 5 years, that are, there have been some real standout dunks. So I guess it's fine. I'm almost kissed the rim.
This guy wins because he almost kissed the rim. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. He almost plucked an eyeball out and dunked it and then dunked with the other hand. I don't know. We're getting close. It's getting a little bit thin.
The ones that make it, the thing that rejuvenated it for me in the last half decade is the ones when the guys like bounce it to themselves and they like catch it behind their head. The coordination to be able to, that's the thing we forget about. I've said this a million times, and I'll now say it for the million and first. I think we sleep on the hyper coordination of NBA players because we talk all the time about like that team needs more size up front. They need more length to compete. Like, where are all the 6'10 guys coming from on the planet Earth? I have no idea where this refillable well of human beings that are this gigantic and coordinated exist as we wring our hands like this team could really use a true center on their ACC team. Like, where do they come from? How are there this many hyper-coordinated human beings on the planet Earth to populate NBA rosters? It boggles my mind. It also reminds me of why I contended controversially last week that American athletes, if with given a half decade of practice, could win the soccer World Cup. People did not like that. But anyhow, I don't want to go in that direction. I'm just telling you.
The idea that you think not just one would replace a single member of the team, but all of your athletes lined up would be able to replace every single player. That's it. That's how it would work. And you don't even see how this is. Who's a good skater? Brian Boitano. Was he a great skater?
Yeah.
Am I missing? What if they said, you would go nuts if people like, you know what, just put him in the NHL. Make some nifty moves around the goal. He'd be like, no. He needs to do it with the puck. Like, oh, he'll figure it out. Well, that's basically what you're saying.
No.
Same thing. You could shake
it off. No, it's the same thing as saying Ronaldo Nehemiah or Ron Brown or Willie Gault should play football.
Yes.
And Bullet Bob Hayes could do it. Because he was, in addition to being world-class fast, he was hyper-coordinated. That's the key detail. When say speed is the main virtue, I'm saying among the hyper-coordinated on the planet Earth. I'm not saying you or me transform us into one of the fastest people in the world and suddenly we'll be ready to win the World
There's
Cup.
There's a ball attached. You're not Alvin jumping Kamara over a hurdle. There's a ball attached to this thing. There's a puck attached. There's a football attached. You have to do so much more than just run. Use your speed. Those legs have to be dribbling a ball in control in such a way that a defender doesn't
take it from
you. It's
as elementary. Soccer is. It's not. It's. I'm not. It's not me. You know, demeaning the sport to say that this side of boxing, it's our most elementary. The most specific skill set probably is hockey. You have to be on skates. You have to. But you're hyper-coordinated to do that. It's why professional athletes can walk off whatever field of play and go out and be a scratch golfer. It's why Antonio Gates can be a basketball player one day, and then a decade and a half later, he's on his way to the Hall of Fame. It's the same reason. I mean, there are any number
why
of
hasn't
these
anyone,
examples. How do you explain Hakeem Olajuwon being the best center? It's not merely that he's 7 feet tall. It's that he's hyper-coordinated and can do things that other seven-footers have never been able to do. Alvin Kamara, CMC, Tyreek Hill, these guys are hyper-coordinated. Do you see what they can do with their hands? Their hands.
Well, they can't use their hands.
This would translate.
They can't use your hands. Someone tell, break the bad news to Dave that none of these people can be allowed to use their hands unless they are playing goalie. But I would like to see it. And in all these great examples, you say, over the 150 years, there's not been one that can play soccer. So I don't know.
Nobody tries. What do you mean? Of course.
Should we do
money
with hockey?
For them to be in the NFL or NBA or whatever. I mean, well, I guess not more money. There's plenty of money.
I say get Boitano out there.
Reared with
get Boitano out there. The Americans
Boitano
haven't won the
gold. Boitano is a lame example.
The Americans haven't won the gold since 1980. It's time to shake it up in hockey. I think we got to do something here. You're right. Move everyone off their sport. Back to
Continental cuz. Continental cuz. Standing up for the Euros. Good for you. Turning your back on the red, white, and blue.
I get it. Hey, No one's more red, white, and blue than Marv Albert. He's my favorite part of this All-Star game, but I worry about him. He's 79 years old. He went to high school with my father, and I know this because I've been reminded of it every single time I've seen my father for the last 49 years. And Marv Albert, you know, it wasn't Marv Albert. His name was Marv Offrichteg, and he used to call the basketball games. He had the microphone, and he would run up and down the court, and he'd be screaming, and we all loved it. Okay, great. I love it, too. I'm worried about the guy. I'm worried about my father, too.
We all loved it.
Oh, everybody loved it. I'm sure everyone's like, yeah, come on, I can't, get out of the way, you punk. I can't see. I'm sure they thought it was a nonsensical. But I'm worried he's going to have a heart attack because of some coronary thing. He's 79 years old. He's excited about every shot, and there's 320 points in these All-Star games. Like, Steph Curry, three, and yes! It was like, all right, don't get it. There's going to be another one in 8 seconds. Don't get too crazy, Marv. We need you around here. I think it's wrong for TNT to force them to do this at age 79.
It is a lot. Again, an exhibition weekend where an old man really would probably be better served by having his feet up and his vocal cords up for what presumes to be an exciting second half run by the Knickerbockers towards the postseason. Who has the best 3-point call, in your opinion, among the national NBA guys or even basketball? Gus Johnson is well known for going crazy, but
yeah.
I think that we sleep. I mean, Kevin Harlan gets a lot of love too, but I think the Breen bang is pretty good and underrated.
He's great. And then I wonder if that's why Marv Albert comes back for these things. He's like, I got to show everyone who's boss. I started this whole thing with right. the yes and the, you know, it's good, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, Breen is really that. That's what we'll remember, right? Because we're now so used to the ABC calls. I just worry about more. I look at it like the Washington fans probably watched Alex Smith. Like, oh, it's great that he's there, but I can't watch with my eyes. This is it's getting too crazy, too little, too dicey. But all right, so we'll
turns
close
out
the book.
That turns out though that your mom was right. Not your mom. I mean, collective moms in the world who, when it's like it's chilly outside, you know, most of the heat escapes out of your head.
Right.
Look at him. He's been living right. He's had that.
He's had that
animal atop his head, keeping all the heat in, keeping him nice and healthy, so he can stay on the microphone year after year.
Good
after
for
year.
You, Marv Offrichteg. Tag, but however I say it, it's wrong.
We loved it. We all loved it.
loved it. Can you imagine this guy running up and down the sideline? I wonder how much the players loved it. We should get one of those, the high school players from, where did my father go? Madison? No, he went to Lincoln. My father went to Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. All right. I should know this. Goddamn, I should know this. Blake Griffin's on the Nets. Nets plus 130 to win the East. Bucks plus 280. Sixers 5-1 as we start the second half. Nets are 3-1 to win the title, just behind the Lakers at plus 280. They had I saw odds on him going where Blake Griffin would end up. And the Nets were the favorite, and this makes sense. He's having fun with this team. Is this a likable team? I like Blake Griffin. I think he's really funny. He's funny as shit. He's in the Roastmaster stuff. But people were saying that this is a unlikable team all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden, but with Kyrie, and maybe people don't like Durant, and now Blake Griffin. I'm not sure. It doesn't bother me any.
People tend to like underdog stories, and so now this team has taken on the shape of something that isn't that. It's a super team. It's the same thing as LeBron down in Miami. And it has that kind of vibe to it and the way they've come together. And as we've talked about before, there's a It's weird. It's a funny kind of a paradox in that this is essentially, people are resentful, obviously, of multimillionaire basketball players. And we can discuss the societal reasons for why that might be. But it is ultimately the working class of the National Basketball Association. So I feel like we should embrace a little bit more the working class, eschewing the billionaires in favor of the millionaires. You know, you think about proletariat versus bourgeoisie. This is, again, striking a blow for the proletariat. They're kind of manufacturing this. I think people are uncomfortable with players deciding their own path. People do not want that to be happening. That's the trade-off for the average sports fan, it seems, is like, okay, you get millions and millions of dollars for doing what you do, but some random middle-aged white guy is going to determine in which city you do it for at least the first 4 years. And people do not like when players force their way into different situations that suit them
a little bit better. But what it's about this being a unlikable team with Harden and the last two pickups are a little controversial? I think that's what it tells you.
People don't like it because it feels like they're pushing, they're forcing this into something that is unnatural or not the way they're used to seeing teams come together. That all of a sudden,
right? But I think these personalities on their by themselves would probably add up to something that people wouldn't like.
You're right. No, you're right. People don't like KD, like we talked about with Kenny the Jet. We talked about that with Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson. Yep.
About why KD isn't perceived to be likable because people like to lionize Magic and Bird because they didn't have to force their way onto a championship team and ride coattails. Yeah, instead, Magic got drafted onto a team that had Kareem and then added James Worthy, so he didn't have to do anything like that. But so people don't like KD. Kyrie's a freak who thinks it's a flat earth. Hmm. Blake Griffin is sarcastic and straight-faced. He's a deadpan funny guy, and so people don't know what to make about that. He dunks too much for some people. You got to remember, Sal, mm-hmm. a lot of curmudgeons out there that are sports fans. They're resentful. Despite the fact that they like to watch sports, they're resentful of the human beings that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have a conversation that transcends mere sports about why that might be.
I could see that. Yeah.
And fat James Harden, too, forced his way out of Houston. I mean, now that I think about it,
I can see people
having issues with all four of their big four. So, yeah.
It isn't. Joel Solomon, you don't like this group, right?
I just don't like them because they all went to Brooklyn. It's a very hipster team.
Mm.
No, I mean, I like Blake Griffin off the court, but I can see how this team can rub fans the wrong way. You know, between KD with the burner account and Kyrie's a flat earther and James Harden with the beard. There's a lot of anti-beard people out there.
People don't like beards.
Yeah. This could be like Dave's saying, the way they all force their way to build this super team.
Blake lives by me, I think, Blake Griffin. But his son played against mine last year and swatted my son about 17 times, swatted everybody on the team. And it was unfair. It's like a 6-year-old game. He could probably make the middle school team. And I recorded my son like almost in tears about it afterwards. And then I put it on Twitter and Blake Griffin responded. He's like, "Oh, Archie, you played great." You know, I'm sorry. It was Harrison. I get confused because of the Royals, what they did with those names, but yes,
right.
It was Harrison. You played great. But yeah, so no, he's a good guy in my book, but I could see this going down as one of the more hated teams. Another thing I hate is this card thing, Dave. Every week there's more and more. Kobe's rookie card went for $1.8 million. So I guess he should be the logo. I don't know, right? Is that how we determine the logo? Whose rookie card goes for the most? And then we just change it every week, depending on who goes. No, but I get the sense that... believe me, I don't want everyone watching every penny that I spend either, but... We went from, you got to donate to charity. There's so many people hurting out there to, okay, is everyone good? Everyone's back on their feet. Let's spend $75 million on cards. Let's do it. Like, what the hell happened? Where's this card boost coming from all of a sudden? The economy's great.
Well,
again.
The weirdest part. Yeah. Well, that's the weirdest part to me about it. When we were little kids,
mm-hmm.
Really before our teen years, the card industry was booming, not any sport other than baseball, but, you know, like the Cal Ripken rookie card. I remember being a little kid and people saying, "Oh, protect that, you know, Cal Ripken and Ricky Henderson and whoever the players of that era were." And I remember Mark McGwire as a rookie hitting, what did he hit, 39 or 49? He hit 49.
Canseco's 40, but anyhow. 40 stolen base year, 40 home run. That was big. You hold on to that. Yeah,
I remember people hold on to those rookie cards and keep them safe and everything. But then it swooned for like decades, didn't it? I mean, then it was like, oh yeah, those cards that you were told to hold on to, yeah, they don't have any value anymore. I'm not clear on what's happened in the last couple of years. I was unaware. until you started asking me about it a handful of weeks ago. I was like, oh, I had no idea that it was back up to being something that grown-up people actually spent real money on. But as I've said before, safely put away in one of those safe boxes that you see in movies at the bank where they go in and there's a gun and a roll of money usually and maybe some diamonds from goodness knows where. I have my Mario Lemieux rookie card. And I mean, for real, that doesn't make me disloyal if I sold it, right? I
well,
mean,
you
if
gotta that get it graded. $100,000, I'd be crazy graded. Not to. We keep saying, go to get the PSA grade. I mean, Joel Solomon, you were in a room this week for hours this weekend, right? You threw your kids aside. What happened with that? You were in some NBA Top Shot thing. Did you get anything?
I did. We got a pack. I was lucky enough to get a Giannis card that they're saying could be worth anywhere from $300 to $22,000.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. You know, there's different levels of packs now, even with a Top Shot, based on how rare the cards could be in it. But it's all right.
So tell me what you did. You were online and you were in a group and you made it through or something. And then they open the pack in front of you or they send the pack to you?
They send the pack to you. There's a weight room and they release X amount. They tell you how many packs they're going to release, 50,000 packs. So if you get a number and you're allowed in, you're allowed to buy that pack or you're waitlisted. They send you the pack. There's three cards. You click on it. It does a magical kind of reveal, and then there's your card. It opens it for you. And honestly,
what the hell goes on? And then they're gonna send it to you. I mean, there's something you can touch at some point. No. Oh, there's nothing you could touch.
No, there's nothing you could touch. Not with these.
Oh, it's all digital. I see.
It's all digital. These, but this Kobe Bryant one was
this was real.
That was a real card that was graded. And I hope when I give it to you, you enjoy it. This was clearly a bad idea by me. This is going to backfire big time. I shouldn't have gotten
why, it. Sal, if you find this NHL season tedious, I can't imagine that this is interesting to you. These grown-up people.
Well, I'm not even close
with their free time. There's not enough to watch on TV. Do you do this?
I don't understand. How much did the packs cost, Joel? You never said how much you spent on it.
Like $50. Like,
That means more if you're hesitating. Like
definitely.
That.
No. If the low end that you can make from it is 300, then what's the? Then you're leaving out a step there because why wouldn't everybody do that if it was? If you were guaranteed to make six times your investment.
The other thing is people are grading anything now, whether it's memorabilia or seats or jerseys. So I think we should get betting tickets that were maybe historical, grade them, and now we could corner the market on betting tickets.
I don't like any of this. I don't know what the hell's going on here. This is so. It seems like supply and demand that should have met up weeks ago with this stuff, right? Only 50,000 boxes, you said? Is that what you said? Or only 5,000?
No, 50,000 packs.
Okay, only 50,000. And everyone makes money.
To Dave's point, I think there was a lag with, you know, sometimes exciting rookies, and now there's Ja Morant and Zion and LaMelo, and in football you have Herbert, and that and everyone going through their old stuff has kind of had this resurgence of cards. And if we just had a lot more Anthony Bennett, nobody would care about cards.
I guess.
That can't be it. Is that really your hypothesis? Maybe that's right. We should, though, Joel, you're right. What would be fun is one of these experts should come over here and look through Sal's collection and look through my collection. I'd love for somebody to evaluate. I have a lot of good autographs of guys. I think they don't have any value because my old man, when he was doctoring for the Penguins and for Pitt, and Pitt during an era when Dan Marino was there and a bunch of guys who wound up in the Hall of Fame, and I have their signatures and so on. But my old man nicely always would say, like, make it out to David. And so it's always to David or to
that
Amy,
screws
David,
it up.
And Debbie.
No good. Yeah.
And so now it has no value. I don't know. Some of them are just the signatures.
Well,
I mean,
that's
more
what
precious to
a
me.
Lot of the, a lot of the athletes will do. They say, what's your name? And people are like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, no, 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 right. No. What's your name? I don't want to see this on eBay. But now it's become babyface Joel Solomon's in a room opening virtual cards. It doesn't even matter anymore. My God, I don't know what's happening. I you know what? I'd rather put my money in FanDuel. There's a reason it's America's number one sports book. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds, all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like the same game parlay. You can win big with the same game parlay. You bet small for the chance to win a large sum. Oh, player props, futures, find whatever you're looking for as FanDuel has heaps of options. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Place your first bet on anything. They'll refund you $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Any bet you want, NBA, college basketball, tennis, golf. If you win, you keep the cash. You lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's ridiculous. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, that's ridiculous too. What are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code Extra Points so that they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Dave, for people who have not squandered their free $1,000 pick yet, I don't want to say squandered, but you just keep winning and winning, give them a winner for tonight. You're going pucks, right?
Yes, indeed. In my ongoing effort to convince you to pay closer attention to what is really a singularly marvelous hockey season. Now, I root for the Mass Mutual division, or that's my main focus. And so it's especially juicy stuff. But I also like the Canadian division, too. Actually, I like three out of the four divisions. But in Canada tonight, you have the Edmonton Oilers royalty, of course, for the deeds of Gretzky and company way back when, going against the historyless Ottawa Senators. And so it will continue now. The Edmonton Oilers, once again, stacked with high-end talent. They've made quick work of all the bottom feeders. That's what the Ottawa Senators are. Bottom of that Canadian division there. They do not beat good teams. More importantly, the Oilers do beat the bad teams. In fact, 6-0 against the teams under 400 this season, and Ottawa is bad. Coming off of a game last night that they won, this means that their number one goaltender, who's not been great, Matt Murray, is probably going to sit down. That's been the pattern this season. That means the backup goalie in there against McDavid and company. I say that in three of the four games, the Oilers have beaten the Senators by at least two goals. I think that they do that again tonight. Take the Oilers by the goal and a half.
Oh, you get plus 105 for the goal and a half and minus 255 if you're brave enough and too scared to lay the puck.
Probably
a
good bet to go over the 6.5 too, right?
There you go. Over 6.5 will get you minus 118. All right. Well, yeah, listen, the hockey. I'm enjoying the Islanders and Mikey Meatballs. I don't know. I just think there's going to be some fatigue here. The Islanders have beaten the Sabres six straight times since February 15th. That's not October 15th, Dave. That's February 15th. We're not even up to March 15th. They've had six games against the Sabres. This is not a heated rivalry, as I think you're latching on to for some of this. I just think there's going to be, come time for the playoffs, when these teams meet again, there's going to be a little bit of fatigue. But we'll see.
Well, maybe listen, I mean, you're not paying close enough attention because the hated figure, the one thing everybody can agree on outside of our nation's capital is that Tom Wilson is the Vontaze Burfict of the NHL, which is to say a creep in the to the first degree.
All right.
And so that kind of hatred is really seeping through. I'm with you. The Penguins have not played the Sabres or the Devils once yet. This is where they should be able to make some hay. Meantime, the Islanders ruling that division, and it feels improbable because everybody points to, like, well, Trotz's system. I'd be resentful if I were on the Islanders because they have legit skill. Did you see the goal by Barzal this weekend?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What?
Very nice.
Between his legs in at full speed.
All right.
It was, I mean, it's splendid stuff. The Islanders are very good. The team that misses out on these playoffs, and the blue shirts of Eddie Spaghetti are highly talented too. They don't have a back end to stop anybody, but please do yourselves a favor. Tune in, enjoy this hockey. It's like what the original six must have looked like.
I know, you're excited.
Five other teams all season
right.
long. It's
you're
funny.
Excited about all these ideas that would cripple your sport. Your sport wouldn't last 4 years if they did it. Just play the original six. Why bother with these other teams? Ottawa, how dare they exist in Canada? Come on. I think, yeah. All right, I'll
it's
tune
like
in.
Getting in. No, it's like for 1 year, it's like getting into a time machine and going back and seeing what it must have been like
great.
And realize how spoiled we are. You only got to watch, if you were watching hockey in 1958,
well,
you watched your team play the same five teams. And if you got the short end of the straw, if you were a New York Rangers fan, you never won anything.
I get it.
And you just had to watch all these other good teams all the time. It would have been basically like being a Sabres fan this year.
I walk to work. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I appreciate what they did in the 1920s, but I'm going to jump in my car the next few weeks. I'm just going to do it. But I get it. I get a walk to work would be fun.
What a Scrooge.
Hey, I'm going to make people money here. Here's my pick. Go to FanDuel, bet the over in the St. Mary's Gonzaga game. That's the semifinals of the WCC right there. Boy, I mean, Gonzaga, what can you say about them? They're 24-0. I'm going over here. 143.5. The Bulldogs games have gone over the last 11 neutral site games. They're 10-1 in the over. The over is cashed in their last five games. They beat the Gales 87-65 last game, which adds to 152. I say high scoring. If you can get a point total over 80.5 individually for Gonzaga, I would do that. I think they score closer to 90. Over 143.5, Gonzaga, St. Mary's. And then they play, I think, the winner tomorrow. Who is it? BYU? BYU is in the other game. I think that's who they're going to play in the finals. But for tonight, over 143.5. That's my pick for Gonzaga. Boy, we have a lot of conference tournament. Big one starting this week, Dave. I think the ACC actually starts Tuesday. A lot of these others tip off Wednesday. FanDuel has odds for the final one seed. Well, all the one seeds. Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan are pretty much locked. So Michigan lost to Michigan State yesterday. They're still minus 210. That fourth number one seed, Dave, I know you like Illinois. I like them too. Best player had like a facial fracture or something, sat out for a while. Doesn't matter. Still beat up on Ohio State. They're 2-1 odds to get that fourth spot. Iowa plus 270. Ohio State 3-1. West Virginia 3-1. FSU, Nova, and Bama plus 350. Now, to me, it's got to be Illinois. Not just because your boy Lenardi says it's Illinois, but they beat Iowa, lost to Illinois. Ohio State has lost to since on against all odds. Boy, we really whiffed here. We thought Ohio State would be the fourth one seed. They've now lost to Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, and Illinois all in the last 10 days. You're sticking with Illinois at 2-1. I think those are good odds.
I do. I do like Illinois. I think, though, if Illinois, that math is always how much, because it feels like, I like when the committee comes out of it and Lenardi supports them, or when they sort of like, well, we really looked at the tournament as though the range of opinions that the committee has on the impact of the conference tournament ranges wildly case by case. If Illinois loses and goes out immediately, as sometimes happens with these teams that don't care about the tournament because they feel comfortable and they want to stay nice and fresh for the main event. And Florida State runs the table. I like that Florida State team making some hay once the March Madness tournament gets going there. But yes, I will. I'll stick with Illinois for now.
All right.
Asterisk it. If Florida State runs the table and Illinois loses its first conference tournament game, I guess there would be some.
The problem is
we could make some
case. The Illinois has a double bye here, so I'm even trying to figure out who they would play. Actually, they play the winner of Indiana Rutgers, but that's still a quarterfinal game. So if they lose that, you think they drop from the one? Maybe they do. Both of those are Rutgers is a bubble team, although they're saying they're in. They don't even have a winning conference record, I don't think. That would stop them. FSU, tell me if you've ever heard this before. As of last week, I don't think they played an overtime game. As of last week, Florida State had won 11 overtime games in a row. I think you go through the annals of history. I haven't seen anything like that, but can you beat that? Someone write into the extrapointsgang@gmail.com. I don't know if that's beatable. 11 overtime games in a row?
Wow, that is funny. That's a funny thing because you would think that, you know, forgive me, but for bringing up the hockey again, like if you're an overwhelming, if you have two really high-end superstars in the NHL, it would make sense that then you would dominate the overtime frame because of the three-on-three. There's nothing inherent you wouldn't think about basketball that gives one side or the other the edge. That is
like even those old UCLA teams, if they got to, you know, John Wooden's team got to overtime, it means, well, they're having an off day, right? As dominant as they are, or even if they, talent-wise, they supersede the opposition. But Florida State, Nova lost. They've been a little sketchy down there. I think they lost to Providence yesterday. Alabama is in a weaker conference, although they have a really good conference record in the SEC. But I think Illinois at 2-1 is a really good value right there.
I agree. And you gotta, you really like when the great teams, when there's an inordinate percentage of them loaded up in one conference, I think you have to honor that.
I mean, exactly.
The point about Ohio State is great, but they're not, they're not doing it in a second rate conference. It's clearly the best conference in basketball this season. And,
Well, they did it for many years. You'd see North Carolina and Duke. You'd see they both get one seeds, or they'd figure it out, right? Be right there. So
let's check the bias this time, because I legitimately, you know, there's some coaches getting fined for saying stuff about the officiating, which is a weird rule too, by the way. That for all the conversation for another day, perhaps. But for all the concerns about First Amendment rights and everything else, it is kind of funny that you're not allowed to say, like, boy, well, we would have won that game if not for the officiating. That you can get fined for that is kind of an interesting thing. Where's everybody fighting for your First Amendment rights on that one?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Anyhow, but there will be a lot of this, like, Dickie V goes crazy every year, and everybody, like, if you're a coach or a player and you do that, they fine you for doing that. It's a weird message.
Yeah. Well, this is not a weird message. Our friends at Crown Royal, this is a key message, as I'm being told. They tell you that even at home, you still get to enjoy your favorite game day cocktails. You can make fun of the officials, right? It's in your living room. Say whatever you want, but you just have to remember to take a water break in between to stay hydrated. Don't be that person that ruins game day for your friends and family. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. My Crown Royal athlete of the week, Amanda Nunez, UFC 259. Now, let me ask you, Dave, do you have to make me money for me to name you Crown Royal athlete of the week? Yes. Yes, you do. No, yeah. No, you don't. Yeah. No, you actually don't, but it really helps. And she took on Megan Anderson in the octagon, and she dropped her early. Now, I had bet that Amanda Nunez at plus 210 would win by submission. So what does she do? She knocks Megan Anderson on her ass early. She jumps on her back. She puts her in a triangle chokehold. Now this, I don't know if you've seen this, Dave, but you got your leg across your opponent's throat and then trying to finish her off with the arm bar, right? So she's got the leg crossed and the arm bar. She's like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You want me to choke you out with my legs, or you want me to break your arm? What are you going to do here, Megan Anderson? She tapped out. She's like, I don't even want to decide. Boom, I'm done. That's a submission. That's plus 210. And that is my Crown Royal athlete of the week. Top that, Dave. Who's yours?
All right. I do want to follow up on that question that you just asked. In the meantime, I'm going to go with what is really a fascinating career chase here. We talk all the time about defending your generation's best, and the best of our generation in terms of NHL goal scorers is Alex Ovechkin. I'm not a huge fan of the Washington Capitals. I am a fan of greatness. The Great Eight is that, and he may not just be the greatest goal scorer of our generation, but in my mind, with the possible exceptions of Mario Lemieux and Mike Bossy, the single greatest goal scorer of all time, to wit, he's chasing one Wayne Gretzky sitting there. Of course, Wayne Gretzky at the time of his retirement and even before was decreed to hold records that were unbreakable. At 894, though, Wayno sits there watching Alex Ovechkin creeping up ever closer. Now it's 714. Shout out to Phil Esposito, who did it in a different era and still has 717, ranking six there. Sal, will Ovechkin, at age coming up on, he's basically in his 36th year on the big blue marble here. Mm-hmm. At 714, he's got about, you know, what's that? We've got to get about 160 goals to catch Wayno. Will he do it before he hangs up the skates?
714 is an interesting number, Dave. That's the amount of home runs Babe Ruth.
Right.
That jumps out of my head.
Correct.
Okay, 714. Let's take a look. You can't go by last year. So he's right around 48, 49, 50. Hasn't really dropped from there. Nah. He's got to play to 41, 42. If he averages 49 goals a year, 45 goals a year.
And it feels like he started the gentle decline a little bit.
I'm going under.
He's not.
I'm sorry. I know he's your Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. What do you mean you think so, too? He's your Athlete of the Week.
The fact that he's even in this chase, and he spent part of the front end of his career in the dead puck era. He and Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin helped pull the NHL out of that goal-scoring funk. But nevertheless, that's when he dropped into the league. Gretzky dropped into a league when everybody and their mother was scoring 130 points a season. I'm tipping my hat to the grade eight for what he's been able to do, even if he doesn't get to 99's all-time goal total. And also shout out to Mario Lemieux, who only needed 900-plus games to get near 700 goals, where everybody else needed 1,500 or more to get to their goal.
Oh, my God. Total. That's what this was all about. Spaghetti, that's what this was. Just everything ends up being a shout out to Mario Lemieux. You know, you could have made Blake Sidney Griffin Crosby the Athlete of the Week, but it would have ended up with Mario Lemieux. All right, Spaghetti, real quick.
He hasn't
quick.
Done anything in a month.
Does Ovechkin do anything? Does he break the record? Real quick, Spaghetti.
It's tough just because he plays a physical game, and I'm not sure how much longer he could actually sustain scoring goals at a high pace before his body starts to break down, so I may have to go under as well.
All right. Meatballs, over or under?
Well, if he wants to come play with Matthew Barzal, he'll definitely get there.
Whoa, look at that.
What does that even mean?
He's got to switch teams. He's got to switch teams, Dave. That's how it's going to happen. All right, you can catch Spaghetti and Meatballs on -3. They go into the what's the division? It's the which bank is it?
The Mass Mutual. The Mass Mutual.
They hit all of it.
I really do. In my mini homage to the grade eight, though, he is a two-dimensional lethal weapon. I mean, it's not like he plays a complete game or anything, but I mean, just him at the top of the circle, them just trying to feed him the puck so he can unleash that hammer of a shot remains devastating to this day. And it's been that way for a decade and a half. It's quite a spectacle. There are few things in sport that are more consistently scary if you're rooting for the other team to be playing against. It's like I say, you know, Mike Bossy had a rangier game. Obviously, Lemieux had a complete hockey game. Mm-hmm. But boy, there are not many things in sport. But it's kind of like Tyreek Hill running a streak. Like, what are you going to do? You can do everything you want to try and stop it. It's not going to be enough if at some point it's going to break through on you. That's what Ovechkin is.
All right. Well, Ovechkin, you know, and he got to play the Sabres 37 times in 2021. So that didn't hurt either. I don't even know. That's
my question is, no one ever breaks, but you talk about Nunez. When it's like the threat is, if you don't tap out, I'm going to break your arm. They never break the arm, though.
Oh, they do.
They never at this.
No, they do. They do.
Oh, they do. Like, all right, you didn't want to tap out. Now, guess what?
Happens
have to be in a cast.
Mikey Meatballs happens a couple, few times a year, right? They break the arm. There's so many matches now, so it's just it's going to happen accidentally. But I thought she was nice enough. She left. Sometimes they don't even leave you this triangle choke arm bar combination. At least left Megan Anderson the opportunity to tap with her free arm. Sometimes you can't even tap. You have to scream. You talk about humiliation. At least the tapping is whatever. You see it, the referee sees it, it's over. But if you have to scream, I give up. Oh boy, Dave, that's it, right? Because I can't tap with my toes or my fingers or anything. That's a humiliation of all. And thankfully,
I'm a delicate flower.
Didn't do that.
If you forced me into the octagon, I would just like, as soon as like, on your mark, get set, go, be like, I'm in, it's it, tap out. I would do whatever I had to do. I would never want another grown man coming at me with mal intent and bare feet. That would be that would be the perfect storm for me to just tap out.
All right. Well, now we know.
Nope. I don't want anything to do with any of this.
Now we know what to get Dave for his birthday. Crown Royal, the perfect addition to game day. But don't forget, you got to stay hydrated. You have to drink responsibly. That was Crown Royal's water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. And for more tips on how to crown your game day, visit @CrownRoyal on Instagram. Dave, what else do we have going on? You lost your keys? Something you started telling us. I said, save this for the podcast.
It was a tough weekend. There was between the tough choices, it was a great weekend watching Pittsburgh Penguins hockey, of course, you know, playing some catch up there in that division. But personally, a little bit rough for me because, one, we went over to the park where you can, you know, get in one of the swans and pedal and everything else as society opens up a little bit more and more. But on the way, I put my keys on top of the car just so I could buckle in the little ones. And then I drove off with the keys still on the roof of the car. And the wife, she had the backup keys, because sometimes I forget the keys, so she brings a backup set in her bag. But because she had the backup set in the car didn't the car was able to turn over, even though the original set of keys was on the roof of the car, because she had the backup set in the car. So the car started, and then I drove away. And then at some point in the journey, the keys fell off the car, and now I don't have those except for the backup keys. And so that's bad. And then she was miffed with me and thought me less a man. And then last night, you know, I love my Envy apples, and she went to the grocery store and I said, "Hey, can you pick up some Envy apples?" And she did, and she brought them back, but she didn't look at them closely. She didn't expect them, you see. And so one of them had a big dent in it, you know, a big welt. And yeah. I don't like eat one apples. I love an Envy apple, but not one that's been
just
dented.
Just chop it up.
But I looked at it, and it was like a big circle, and it was starting to get rotten there. And she said, "Well, just cut that part out."
That's exactly
right. Cut
that part
off. And I was like, "No, I don't want to eat that. I don't know. Maybe there's a worm in there or something by now."
Oh, come on.
And she's like, "There's not a worm inside the apple." And I said, "Well, it doesn't look right to me. It's like a silver dollar sized welt. That doesn't look like a satisfying apple. No, thank you." And so I put it back in the refrigerator, and she said, "You put that back in there? You cut that out." And I said, "I'm not going to cut it out. You eat it." And she said, "This is the man who has to defend our home if an intruder came in. This is a man who's gonna keep me and the children safe. Is a man who won't eat that apple."
Oh,
and I
man.
Said, "Now this is an evaluation of my manhood."
Oh, no, it
so
always is.
The whole
yeah.
thing was a mess.
So you lost your keys and your fruit integrity all in one weekend. I can't believe it.
And my dignity. And my dignity.
Yes, and
all
your
in one
dignity.
Weekend. I was emasculated.
Poor Beth.
And, yes, it was terrible.
Poor Beth. So, yeah, anyway. You're going to end up, you're going to wake up one day, you're going to be in a triangle chokehold, and you're going to, how the hell did this happen? Eat the apple.
Right.
Just eat the goddamn apple.
Right.
That's what's going to go on.
Well, when like it's the bottom line, the weekend goes like this, the, you know, they do the three stars in hockey, the three,
right.
I don't know, the three star crossed of the weekend. It goes Queen Mom one in the win place. It goes, Woody Allen in the place by Damashek in show. Thank goodness for Woody and Queen. They have obscured my personal shame.
Yes.
Nobody's putting this on TV. We're just putting it on a podcast.
Woody's got to be like, "Jesus Christ, one more episode. Let's just get through this. What the hell? What more do you need to know?"
Are we allowed to watch his movies anymore?
I don't know. I don't know what goes on.
I don't know if we can. I don't know if we can enjoy Manhattan anymore, especially Manhattan and Crimes and Misdemeanors are probably his two best. Well, and also Hannah and Her Sisters. But Manhattan is exactly about...
That's the problem. They relate all of this back
to... So you can't really watch it.
And then they show, like, well, if you look at the theme, like in many of these movies, he's dating a much younger woman. One case, she was 17 years old, and he's trying to call it off. But it's like, oh, shit, that's right. My God, all this stuff. Like... I can't watch the Cosby Show either because the Dr. Cosby is a creep too. I don't know how this works.
Right, and here's another one for you. I think we've talked about this, but George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, when they were first constructing the Indiana Jones story for Raiders of the Lost Ark, Lucas pounded the table for Indiana Jones
and
Marion, his girlfriend in the first one, who
Younger.
You know, he tracks down in Tibet. At the time that when they refer back to when they were originally dating, she was supposed to be 12 in George Lucas's mind. It's like, yeah, Dr. Jones needs that air of mystique. It's like, that's not mystique, George. That's creepy, felonious behavior.
Right.
And what if we find out that George Lucas has some dark predilection? And then are we allowed to enjoy the Star Wars movies anymore? Don't even over. Start I that know. Kind of talk.
I read somewhere in Harry Met Sally, Meg Ryan was supposed to be 9 years old. I just think it's a different movie if you do it that way.
Ruins the movie, yeah, really, in a really lot of does. Ways.
All right. If anyone finds Dave's keys or his dignity, please email us at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Yeah, I can see
either.
That'll do it. Join us, me and the degenerate trifecta, winning picks all weekend. We are going to go over every conference, all the conference odds on Against All Odds tomorrow morning. So tune in for that. I'm at the Cousin Sal. Dave, you're at Damashek, and you got -3 coming up. A twofer this week.
At Damashek, yeah, we love doing two a week. We feel that the last fortnight has proven that that we know how to play the game of life and the game of sport, or at least talk about the sports. Having a great time doing it with Kevin Hench and beyond. Make sure you go back and track down last week's episode. Controversial. I'm not going to apologize for defending Old Glory. You know, I said our best athletes would be able to win their best sport.
I think your
soccer.
Brain is rotting like that apple that you turned aside this weekend. I'm not sure, but just a reminder out there.
All right,
when you tell me
why Akeem Olajuwon could pick up basketball and be the best player in America almost immediately, and when you can make sense of that happening, but
tell me why no one's
CMC
done it to soccer.
CMC wouldn't be good at soccer.
It's fine because no one's done it. There hasn't been a crossover already until it happens. That's why. But Dave, I'm trying to remind people that they may feel like underdogs, but they're all my favorites. That's what I'm reminding them. And to tune in Wednesday. See ya.